So if you could turn up Psalm 1 again in your Bibles. There were two men who were travelling to an airport to catch a flight. We will call them Charlie and Wayne. Charlie wanted to set off at 9 a.m. so that even if they were delayed, they would still arrive at the airport in good time. But Wayne was thinking he'd rather have a lie-in and set off at more like 10 a.m. So Charlie decided that he and Wayne would travel separately. Charlie set off at 9 a.m. with a printout of the directions that he had carefully studied the night before, sat-nav on standby, and car safety checks complete. By the time Wayne set off, it was nearly 10:30, and with only a rough idea of the directions, he would have to hope things went smoothly so that he could make good time. So Charlie got caught in some traffic, but this wasn't a problem. He had expected that this might happen and had already factored it in. Charlie had managed not to take any wrong turns and found that he had made very good time and had time for a coffee and sandwich at the airport before he boarded the plane. Wayne, on the other hand, was not having a smooth journey. He got stuck in traffic with his windscreen was getting dusty and he hadn't filled the screen wash, so he had to pull over and sort that. Then he took a wrong turn and was travelling in the wrong direction for 15 minutes. When he eventually arrived at the airport, he paid double for parking because he had failed to book in advance. He ran all the way to the check-in desk only to discover that he hadn't brought his passport and so was unable to fly. This is just a little story to illustrate how doing things the right way, being diligent and careful, can pay off, and how being a bit careless can make things difficult and problematic. So an introduction to Psalm 1. In Psalm 1 we have two ways, the blessed way and the way of the wicked, which leads to destruction. This seems to be a common theme in the Bible. We have the first Adam and the last Adam, Cain and Abel, Ishmael and Isaac, Esau and Jacob, David and Saul. And a couple of years ago, I preached here on the Pharisee and the tax collector, who both went to the temple to pray. And of course, we have the Christ and the Antichrist. So the Bible gives us plenty of examples that there are two ways we can go. The right way that leads to life, and the wrong way, which without repentance leads to destruction. So looking at verse 1 of our psalm this evening. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. There is an interesting progression in verse 1. Notice the person is blessed if they do not walk with the wicked, stand with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. This progression seems to describe a person becoming more acquainted with a sinful way of life. They start off walking in the steps of the wicked, and they then stand in the way that sinners take, and then this leads to them sitting with mockers and keeping company with them. As we read verse 1, we can see the conscience being seared. The wrong way of life becomes more comfortable. Are there places that we walk that we should not walk? Who are we standing with in our day-to-day lives? Who do we sit down and keep company with? Do we keep company with people who could lead us astray? Just like in our illustration, Charlie decided to travel separately to Wayne, knowing that he was not likely to arrive at the airport in good time. We need to make our journey in the right way, traveling in God's way. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 20, writes, "Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's seek to be spiritually wise, and let's seek to live in the Holy Spirit, in Christian fellowship, and with thankful hearts to God for his blessings. This will help us stay on the right path. Israel, who first received the psalm, was a holy nation, set apart for the Lord. They had to live amongst other nations, but not to become like them. They had a special relationship with God that no other nation had. This is what set them apart. And of course, the first readers of this psalm would have understood that their nation could only be holy if they held to their calling. Joshua 1 verse 8 reads, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." They had to be diligent as individuals and as families who make up God's people to follow God's ways. The same is true today of God's people. We are in the world, but we are not of it. If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must seek God's help to abstain from destructive things of the world and hold to the things of God as individuals, as families, and as a local church that make up God's people today. Now, you may be thinking, hang on, didn't Jesus hang out with tax collectors and sinners? Yes, we know that he did. We should not cut off people who do things that are not right. When we meet up with friends and family members who don't know the Lord, we are to show them the reason for the hope that we have. We need to show them the joy of knowing Jesus. When I started to follow Jesus, some of my friends were starting to get into things that were far from Christian. And some of my friends thought I was being a bit weird, not wanting to join in with them. But my main concern was to show them the joy of knowing Jesus. I think the key thing to remember in these situations is that we are not morally superior to our friends who don't know Jesus. The only difference is that we know Jesus, and by his grace, we are walking with him, and that by prayer and faithful witness, we should seek to help them look to Jesus and walk with him. It is God who can set our feet on the right path with him. So, verse 2, this kind of plays out. "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night?" So verse 1 told us what the blessed person doesn't do, that is, go along the wrong path. Verse 2 tells us what we should do. We must delight in God's word. We must read it, study it, think about it, and ask God to let his word, by his Holy Spirit, change us. And there are loads of ways that we can do this, and I've identified just a few to help us apply this to our lives. Finding a quiet place to be with God. When I started attending church regularly at Wem Baptist Church in Shropshire, the youth group had a sponsored fast, and we all stayed at the chapel for 24 hours doing various activities, some educational, some recreational, and as one would expect, some were acts of worship. The youth leader gave us a resource explaining what a quiet time was and how we might go about doing a quiet time. He then sent us off to find a quiet spot and have a quiet time. I remember being struck in a deeper way than ever before, thinking to myself, I am meeting with God, the eternal God, the God who had no beginning and will have no end, the God who created everything and keeps it going. This God wants to meet with me, to speak to me, and even delights to listen to me. I was deeply moved by this realization, and I was in awe that God was calling me to have a relationship with him. And I think this is a really special thing when, maybe when we first become a Christian, it's all very new and exciting, and we're just amazed that God wants to know us. And maybe there's times as we grow as Christians, and maybe we don't always feel the same excitement, but it's something worth holding on to, and hopefully as our relationship deepens, we still have that enthusiasm as well. Also, reading the Bible with family members. We should make the effort to read God's word and pray with other Christians in our families. Obviously, if we have unbelieving family members, this is not always possible. In those cases, let's continue to seek to share the hope we have in Jesus with them. Reading the Bible and praying with our children and grandchildren. There are so many excellent resources to help children learn about Jesus, from children's Bible stories and worship music for children. And I found that my son really enjoys these, and he often recalls the stories and songs that we've done. And at the moment, he's asking for a lot of awesome cutlery, which Matthew's introduced to the church recently, so that's been an encouragement. And also, for those into modern technology, there have been some helpful resources recently. These days, you can get the Bible on your smartphone in just about any translation. You can even have David Suchet read it to you. Recently, I've enjoyed using an app on my phone where you can choose a Bible reading plan and work through it with friends. And Colin and Rob and myself have enjoyed doing a number of these daily studies from the comfort of our own homes, which helps with the impracticality of meeting every day. So that's been a real encouragement and blessing as well. So moving into verse 3, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruits in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. They say a picture paints a thousand words. Well, verse 3 paints a very helpful picture to remind us in a very clear way the benefits of verse 2. The tree is the blessed person, and the streams of water are God's provision. A tree planted by water does well. With its roots, it takes up the water and grows and produces fruit and does not wither. The blessed person, likewise, placed by God in the right place with good spiritual roots and God's good gifts of grace sustaining them, will grow spiritually, will produce spiritual fruit and mature spiritually. That is not to say that the blessed person will never face hard times. Life will still have its difficulties, just as the tree will be hit by harsh weather and changing seasons. God will sustain his people in the challenges of life when their roots are in him. So I've picked three very short readings just to help illustrate this and to illustrate where our roots should be spiritually. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 43, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs they performed. Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. And finally, Colossians 2, verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So just a few collective points to make from these brief readings that relate to the blessed person. The first one is acceptance of the message. The blessed person accepts the gospel and the Bible's teaching. The second, a public profession of faith, which in our reading was expressed through believers' baptism. It's important as Christians that we do profess the Christian faith publicly. And a devotion to the true teachings of the faith, to Christian fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayer. The blessed person believes the gospel and professes faith by entering the local church. They receive teaching and fellowship, which is key to the growth of God's people. We grow together in love of our Saviour and each other, being rooted and established in his love. And certainly the local church is something that we can praise God for, and I'm sure each of us here can praise God for our church here in Great Harwood, and the encouragement and blessing it is to grow together in the faith. So what about the wicked person? Moving on to verses 4 and 5. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. We have another picture here. The wicked are compared to chaff. Chaff is the husks of corn or other seeds separated by winnowing or threshing. They basically have no value and just get carried away by the wind. Now, I understand that this language and imagery can seem a bit shocking, referring to people as wicked and saying that they are worthless like chaff on the threshing floor that gets carried off by the wind. But it makes the point very well that without God, we have nothing. Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. You see, we are all fallen, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it is Jesus who makes the difference. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. The one who is called wicked and described as chaff can be made right with God by God's grace through the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came from glory and was born as a man, lived a sinless life, laid down his life on the cross, taking the penalty for sin, rose from the dead on the third day, and has now ascended into heaven, where he intercedes for the church. One day he will return and take his people to be with him in his kingdom for all eternity. The wicked one, the worthless chaff in the second picture, can become the flourishing tree by streams of water, taking roots, growing, producing fruit, and not a withered leaf in sight, by believing the glorious gospel and calling on God to be saved. So as we start to conclude, looking at verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. We can praise God that he watches over the way of the righteous, that is, those who have received the gift of Christ's righteousness, that he has a plan for us to serve him. We are under his protection and care for each other in his church, and ultimately God will take us to be with him in glory. We must also be eager to take the gospel message out to those who don't know Jesus, who don't walk with him, for their path leads to destruction. They will not stand in the judgment. Like Wayne, who arrived at the airport without his passport and was unable to fly. Those people who have not received the righteousness of Christ will be unable to enter God's eternal kingdom. We can only stand at the judgment if we stand in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight, or maybe you're listening online, and you are not sure where you stand. Ask yourself, what path are you on? Are you walking with God, with him on his path? Or are you walking on another path that will lead you to destruction, a place without God? If you have any questions about being a Christian or want to talk things through about how to know God and his love, we would be happy to talk with you about our God who saves all who call on his name. Amen.